Pardon the interruption, but I'm Frank Isola, and I'm honored, absolutely honored, that Mina Kimes jumped at the chance to host with me today.
I was told it would be Wilbon.
See, that's not right. That's not right.
It really,
I was excited to work with you, and you're already doing that. Shade, the young people call it. Shade.
Wow.
How's everything going?
I'm surprised you know the word shade.
Bring your A game. That's all I'm going to say. We'll have some fun. All right, welcome to PTI, everyone. Mike and Tony have the day off, so I'm thrilled. I don't care what she says. I'm thrilled to be joined by my good friend from NFL Live, Around the Horn, Highly Questionable, and her own podcast, Mina Kimes. Those are louder applause than I get, and already it's unfair. Two things I'm upset about already. All right, let's start with the owner of the New York Mets tweeting what appears to be his dissatisfaction with the team's offense. This is crazy. The Mets lost their fifth straight game last night, and Steve Cohen tweeted this morning, "It's hard to understand how professional hitters can be this unproductive. The best teams have a more disciplined approach. The slugging and OPS numbers don't lie." Mina, is tweeting criticism about your own team, is it fair or foul?
It's obviously foul. I mean, the problem isn't the substance of what he said. We all know he's right. The Mets offense has been a train wreck. The problem is that he's acting like a fan with a burner account and not the owner of the team. And I get it, because all owners at heart are hardcore fans. It's why they get into the business. But Frank, unless he wants to become the Jerry Jones of baseball and achieve some sort of bizarro celebrity, he should say less, or rather, he should say it behind closed doors where he can actually make an impact on his team instead of embarrassing his own employees in public like this.
Yeah, so if you want to go the chronology of tweets, last night Marcus Stroman, he blows off his media session with the media, got upset after a couple of questions. So at about midnight, he tweeted, "Being negative in life gets you absolutely nowhere. Staying positive and keeping good faith during tough times is the only vibe to be on." Then about 9 hours later, his owner tweeted that out. And, you know, here's the thing. You're 100% right about it, because the fans, I think some of the fans will like it, because the fans are going to say, "That's right. You're the owner of the team. They're not performing. Get on them." That's not going to play well in the locker room.
Yes.
You know, the Mets have been on the road. They got a tough road trip with San Francisco. Then they play the Dodgers. There are tough times right now. The last thing they want to hear is their owner calling them out publicly. And guess what? When you talk about hitting, he fired the hitting coach back in May, which was Chili Davis.
Right.
You know, this is like a George Steinbrenner thing before Twitter. "Oh, we're struggling. Fire the hitting coach." That's not the way it works. And here's the other thing about the Mets. Part of the struggles, Jacob deGrom has not pitched. Does that have anything to do with hitting? Not necessarily. But when you know every 5 days that your ace is going out there, that helps the entire clubhouse. What Steve Cohen did is not helping anybody.
Yeah, it's like bulletin board material. But again, he's the owner. And your reading of it, by the way, was a generous interpretation, because the actual tweet is filled with bizarre punctuation, which seems to be like his calling card on Twitter. I can't help but think how horrible it would be if owners throughout the years had had Twitter in the past. But it should be noted, Steve Cohen's the only guy who's actually doing this.
Yeah, by the way, the Mets are 26th in slugging percentage, 24th in OPS. And here was a team which about a month ago was in first place in the division. Now they're going to struggle. They won't even make the wild card. So they seem to be running away from it. And in New York, where baseball is kind of a big deal, everyone was getting on the Yankees and everyone was riding the Mets bandwagon. Now they're off the bandwagon, and Steve Cohen kicking dirt on them right now. Not good.
All right, well, speaking of New York, let's move to the Giants owner, John Mara, defending the NFL's new emphasis on taunting. Mara is a member of the league's competition committee and says they have strong agreement that refs need to be more aggressive throwing the flag, adding, "We get kind of sick and tired of the talking that does go on from time to time on the field." Frank, is Mara helping or hurting the NFL's case against taunting?
I'm going to let you jump in here really quickly. I just want to remember, everyone to remember, that on the football, it says the Duke. And that's for Wellington Mara, John Mara's father, who was a ball boy about 85 years ago in New York. So the Mara family has some status in the NFL.
That's true.
I know he was being mocked for saying this. You know, John Mara, the family's been around. It's like the Mara family, the Rooney family. They've been around forever. And all I'm going to say about this is I get it. Remember, it's a point of emphasis. It's the preseason. This is something they want to take control of now, because they don't want it later on in the season for it to impact the team that might be on the verge of making the playoffs or have it impact a playoff game. The NBA, Mina, does it all the time. in the preseason. They'll call things just to alert the players. Just be careful. We could call this in the regular season.
Wow. Frank, I was going to make fun of Mara for leaning into the old man. Get off my lawn role, but no, I get to make fun of you as well, which is great. I'm not surprised that he feels this way. I don't think anyone is. But I am a little bit surprised that the owners, the NFL, the league, haven't thought about the business implications of leaning in to the manners angle and enforcing the rule, as you said. I don't think they'll enforce it in the regular season like they're doing in the preseason, which is usually the case with these rules. But I want to remind you of the incident that apparently prompted this bout of hand-wringing. It was the Super Bowl. Antoine Winfield Jr. throwing up the peace sign at Tyreek Hill. And Frank, it was amazing. It went viral. It was hilarious. It was harmless. The NFL should want those things if they're trying to attract a younger fan base. It's bad business to lean into
what
the
about
no
sportsmanship?
Fun
lead. What about sportsmanship? Does that factor in at all?
It's I'll like give you the old man argument. Taunt you now. Come
all right.
on.
All right. Now, Ron Rivera, who's a pretty progressive guy, and he's on the competition committee. He brought up a couple of things where he thinks that some of these small things could escalate into a brawl on the field. That's one. He also mentioned something, hang on now, that Peyton Manning said during his Hall of Fame speech, where we have a responsibility to the younger generation. And I know this is true on the AAU level. The younger basketball players, you see the NBA players complaining, at AAU, that's all everyone's doing. And even Ron Rivera said at the Pop Warner level, you don't want this to become a problem. It is the highest league in the world, the NFL. There is a certain level of decorum that you like to see without taking the fun out of it. So you think that removing taunting means there's no fun. I disagree.
Come on. Come on.
See, you're taunting me. Throw 15 yards on you for crying out loud. All right, we'll stick with football. Joe Burrow didn't play in the Bengals preseason opener, and the team will protect him this week as well. Burrow is coming back from a torn ACL and MCL and said last week that some struggles in camp were a mental thing and that he's working to feel more comfortable in the pocket. All right, Mina, Burrow has said he'd like to see some action before week one. Do you think he needs to play in the preseason?
I don't think he needs to, but I understand why he wants to. This is something you hear a lot from quarterbacks or just NFL players generally when they get hurt, that they don't really feel comfortable on the field again until that first time they get hit. And then they get up and they realize they're okay. Now, Bengals fans do not want to see Joe Burrow get hit. And that's why I really don't think it's important that he plays in the preseason. What's more important, Frank, is evaluating this Bengals offensive line. They decided to stick with their tackles, Jonah Williams and Riley Reiff, passing on Penei Sewell in the draft. But the interior of the line is still uncertain. They're experimenting with different lineups, looking at different guys. And I think that's something this Bengals team needs to get figured out before week one, for the sake of Burrow's health.
All right, he got sacked, to your point about the offensive line, he got sacked 32 times in 10 games. I mean, and then, of course, that devastating leg injury that he took. I think every quarterback is different. Aaron Rodgers doesn't need to be playing. Tom Brady doesn't need to be playing. I think when you're a young quarterback, you haven't played in a long time, there's nothing wrong with game action. We know how it works in the preseason. They go out there for a couple of series and then say it. You're going to tell them not to run. If you think you're about to get sacked, just throw the ball into the ground. We don't care what happens. Just don't get hit. I think a young quarterback definitely needs to be out there playing. I don't think he's played enough over his career. I think the offensive line is definitely an issue. And guess what, Mina? If the player is saying that, I get it. For other quarterbacks, just like Dak Prescott, he needs reps in practice. Joe Burrow needs to be out on the field playing, even if it's for only a couple of series.
You know, you say that, but every coach takes such a different approach.
Yep.
I worked the Rams preseason. Sean McVay doesn't even play the backup quarterback, John Wolford. Meanwhile, in Kansas City, Andy Reid is letting Patrick Mahomes play. I don't see any logic or sort of coherent theme amongst NFL teams. I really think it comes down to the individual player and coach, and it sounds like Burrow would like to see the field.
Yeah. And the good thing about this injury, which, again, was a devastating injury, guys come back from major knee injuries. Tom Brady, for one, I think he won 3 or 4 Super Bowls after he came back. Deshaun Watson has come back from it. Carson Palmer has come back from it. If you're a quarterback and they say to you, what would you rather have, shoulder or leg injury? Not that you want either of them. Take the knee injury. That one you can certainly come back from. All right. Let's take a break. But coming up, how should Bear fans feel about a double dose of injury news they got today? I know how Michael Wilbon feels about it.
Ooh, and Josh Rosen is gone from his fourth NFL team. Is there another one in his future?
Man, you were taunting me after that's a taunting penalty. I got John Mara's back.
One.
The Duke. It's on the football. Remember that.
Oh,
doesn't say the Mina. It says the Duke.
Maybe
eventually
it'll
say that.
PTI fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite PTI episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and First Take ad-free as well. They also have your favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/PTI. That's amazon.com/PTI to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
All right, it's time for Mina to continue taunting and to flex some vocabulary. And what's the word? Let's get the first one from the producer over the loudspeaker. What do we got?
Bears fans should feel blank about today's injury news about Tevin Jenkins and Justin Fields.
All right, Jenkins, their left tackle, second round pick, is having back surgery. Who knows when he's going to return? Justin Fields, who was the star of the weekend in the NFL, he's got a groin injury. He was held out, but they're saying maybe there's a chance he'll play on Saturday against the Bills. I'm going to say my word is nauseous, because if I'm Bear fans, I'm thinking, hang on a second. We had a great weekend. And looking at Fields out there, the way that he's running around the field, throwing the ball, we may finally have a quarterback. I get it. The injury to Jenkins is much more serious, but when I hear any injury to a player like Fields, I'm nauseous if I'm a Bears fan.
Yeah, mine is despondent, but I'd also add buzzkill, because Frank, you're right. Bears fans were flying high after week one, and they should be. Fields looked amazing, electric, and then to get this letdown news. The Jenkins news is particularly impactful because when you look at this Bears offense, the weak link was already the offensive line.
Yep.
They cut Charles Leno as their left tackle last year to ride with Jenkins, who they traded up for, and now to hear that he might be out until November with a surgery, that's a real problem for this young team, even with a quarterback who's a threat to take off with his legs.
All right, so when he runs, though, I always wonder about Josh Allen when he's running. I'm thinking, oh, man, at some point you're going to get hurt. Patrick Mahomes seems to have it completely figured out. Is Fields going to be that guy? Is he going to know when to run and to avoid getting hit? Because that first game he was great, but I'm thinking you're running way too much.
It's less of when to run, Frank, and it's more how to run. Like, if you watch Lamar Jackson, he's really good at avoiding contact.
Yeah.
I think Fields has the same strength, but we'll see how it goes.
All right, let's get to the next word, Mr. Producer.
Josh Rosen's future in football is blank.
I'm going to say it's expired. This is the former number 10 overall pick of the 2018 draft. He's already been cut by the Cards, the Dolphins, Tampa Bay, and now the 49ers. 3-13. And 16 career starts. I feel badly for him. A lot of times when you're drafted, you know how it works, Mina. You got to go into the right situation. Maybe it just wasn't the right situation with the Cardinals. They said that he had happy feet because he was constantly getting hit. I feel badly for him, but I have a funny feeling this might be it, the end of the road for Josh Rosen, especially as a starter.
Yeah, we're putting together a pretty depressing word cloud today because mine is gloomy. And that, you're right about Josh Rosen. Like, coming into the league, we said, well, maybe if he had been taken by, I don't know, Buffalo instead of Arizona, his career would look entirely different. But we've now seen him in different situations, Miami and San Francisco, which is really one of the best places for a young quarterback in the NFL. And at a certain point, it becomes less about the context and more about the player, especially if different coaches and offensive coordinators have had a chance to evaluate him. I have to take the L here. I thought Josh Rosen was a great prospect. Clearly, I was wrong. Clearly, a lot of teams have been wrong about this as well since then.
Yeah, and everybody gets excited about all the quarterbacks drafted. The year that he came out, you had Baker Mayfield, Sam Darnold, Josh Allen, Josh Rosen, Lamar Jackson. Not all of them always work out the first-round picks. The odds are usually against you. What do we got next?
Tigers analyst Jack Morris's apology was blank.
All right, so last night during the Angels-Tigers broadcast, Hall of Fame pitcher Jack Morris used a mocking version of an Asian accent to explain how he would pitch to Shohei Ohtani. Then before Ohtani's next at-bat, Morris apologized, saying, among other things, "I sincerely apologize if I offended anybody." All right, my word's going to be sorry, and the apology is sorry, because if you're Jack Morris, the idea of "if I offended anybody," please, anybody out there writing apologies for anybody else, that's why you're apologizing, because you offended somebody. Just take it. Apologize for what you did. It was poor judgment. It won't happen again. And then try to move on. If I offended anybody, yes, you did. That's why you apologize.
It's such a simple tweak, right? Instead of saying "if," just say "for."
I'm
apologizing for offending people. I'm going with embarrassing, because he also said it had been brought to his attention that he might have said something wrong, which means it reveals that he had no idea that what he said was a problem, that speaking in a derogatory way, that ridiculing other people was a problem. And I'm not surprised by this, because a lot of people have no idea. I've been hearing this accent my entire life. People have used it in front of me and my family. The reason we're holding Jack in particular accountable is because he has a public platform, and at this point, he should know better.
Yeah, and now he's been suspended indefinitely by the Detroit Tigers, so we'll see how this story plays out eventually. All right, those are the final words. Let's take one last break. But still to come, the Yankees have suddenly moved past the Red Sox.
And Carson Wentz is reportedly getting antsy to get back on the field.
You think that's going to work? He's back with his guy, Frank Wright. He might need a good doctor more than anything. He can't stay healthy. That's the issue.
I'm antsy.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
It's happy time, everyone. Happy 38th birthday to Dan Orlovsky, the former NFL quarterback and currently our second favorite ESPN football analyst. By the way, those are Mina's words, not mine. The former UConn man and fifth-round pick of the Detroit Lions, Dan appeared in 26 NFL games for 4 different franchises. Unfortunately, we also remember Dan for running out of the end zone for a safety in his first career start, a 12-10 loss to the Vikings in 2008. See the 2 points right there? Of his moment of infamy, Dan said, "When they started blowing the whistle, I was like, did we false start? Or were they offsides or something? And I looked and I was just like, you're an idiot." But this story has a happy ending. Dan may have run out of real estate in Detroit and he was out of the league by 2017, but he found a home at ESPN where he provides smart and provocative football analysis and gets to work alongside the real star of NFL Live, our very own Mina Kimes. By the way, those are my words.
Oh, thank you, Frank. And look, I love Dan Orlovsky as much grief as I give him on air, more than I give you, Frank. And I love the fact that we get to tell that story about the end zone on TV and that he's got such a sense of humor about it. He's an incredible analyst, but he's also an incredible friend. I think that illustrates why he's so good on television.
Yeah, he definitely gets it. All right, happy anniversary. Cody Bellinger, on this day 14 years ago, look at young Cody. He led an offensive onslaught for Chandler, Arizona, as they defeated Salisbury, Maryland 16-6 in pool play of the Little League World Series. Bellinger had a couple of base hits in his first 2 at-bats, and before you can say he's just a slap hitter, look at that. Cody blasts an opposite field home run. Notice the toned-down celebration home plate. Now compare that to last year's NLCS when Bellinger dislocated his shoulder after going deep. Bellinger recently admitted that his shoulder hasn't fully recovered from surgery, but he does appear to be rounding into form. Cody has 4 home runs in his last 10 games, and that's after hitting 5 in his previous 51. How good are the Dodgers? They're 74-46, and Bellinger has appeared in just 61 games.
And Dodgers fans are happy that he looks more like Little League Cody Bellinger lately. Like in July, he hit 118. That's more than doubled in August. Things are looking up for him. Clearly, the shoulder was hurting him at the beginning of the season. His return to form is a big reason why so many people are optimistic about this team.
True story. Mina watched him hit his first ever home run. How about that? Not bad. Not the Little League one, an actual Major League one. Happy trails to the Red Sox, 9.5 game lead. On July 25th, the Yankees were in disarray, nearly 10 games behind their rival. But after sweeping a doubleheader on Tuesday, the little engine that could from the Bronx, they're mathematically ahead of the Red Sox and sit atop the wild card race. The Yankees, listen to this, 17-5 since that date. The Red Sox, 8-14. First baseman Luke Voit has been on a tear since Anthony Rizzo went on the COVID list. And when Rizzo returns, Aaron Boone will have a very good problem on his hands trying to figure out how to get all those big bats in just one lineup.
Those scrappy underdogs, the lovable Yankees. Now, somewhere, Frank, there are Tampa Bay fans listening to us and saying, we're still in first place, guys. Yeah. I know you think only Boston and New York exist, but we exist too. And so does Luis Gil, who to me has been the real story of this team, breaking out an incredible pitcher. That's really exciting.
And the Yankees have been very good in one-run games. And sometimes, you know, that's how the margin of error for them. They also could be about 6 games out had their bullpen not come through, especially over the past week against Chicago and now Boston as well. All right, one error. I got bad info from somebody, and I said Josh Rosen has been cut by 4 teams. Sorry, Josh, he's played on 4 teams, but technically he's only been waived twice. I'm sure Josh is very happy when he did that correction. All right, we're running out of show. Let's go to the big finish. Naomi Osaka beat Coco Gauff in her first match since the Olympics. Your thoughts?
This is encouraging. It was a comeback win, and of course, a comeback generally for Naomi has been having trouble lately with her mental health. She's been honest about that. This is a big step forward for the tennis star. All right, Frank, the Kings beat the Celtics to take the Summer League title. Significant?
Well, think about this. The Sacramento Kings haven't made the playoffs, I think it's since 03-04. But Davion Mitchell, the rookie from Baylor, he shut down Peyton Pritchard. Peyton Pritchard wanted no part of him. And this was after Peyton Pritchard scored 93 points in a pro-am game up in Portland. He came back down to Vegas, got shut down. The Saints won't refund season ticket holders who refuse vaccination or testing. Is this okay by you?
Yeah, get the shot. Go to the game. It's pretty simple. Don't have much to add to that. The Athletic reports that Rasheed Wallace is joining the Memphis Tigers coaching staff under Penny Hardaway. Makes sense?
Eh, Rasheed's a very smart guy. Ball don't lie. By the way, Larry Brown is also an assistant on that team. So Larry's back with Rasheed. One last one. Frank Reich says Carson Wentz is getting very antsy about returning. This makes sense.
No, wait. Get your bones and your foot fixed. And wait for Quentin Nelson to come back, too.
Frank Reich, Maryland guy. We're out of time. Thanks for watching. I'm Frank Isola.
And I'm Mina Kimes. Check out the Mina Kimes Show featuring Lenny on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. And now, here's SportsCenter.
She's taunting again. She closed with a taunt.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. 2 things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus. Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting lectricebikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.